Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning into our boardroom chat once again. I tell you what, the Lord has been so good and gracious. We just finished one of the most glorious visionary conferences I think we ever had. You know, we've said it every year since 2009. This is the best one. It won't get any better, but each time it's gotten better.
It does.
The crowds have been bigger and everything, but I mean, the Word of God was just perfect.
People getting ministered to and touched
and blessed. I've talked to several people that got back home and said, man, I can walk on the water right now. You expanded my vision so much. Well, it's the vision that God has given the body of Christ.
That's right.
This visionary conference really is not about my vision of my ministry, even though I'm a part of your vision because we're all one in Christ. You see what I'm saying? But it's just such a blessing. What do you think about it?
Well, I loved it too. It was so powerful, such excitement and expectancy from the very beginning and throughout the whole conference. There was such the love of God was saturated in the place. I could tell people left feeling refreshed and encouraged. What's wonderful about the whole Visionary Conference is that we did film it. And even if you missed it, you can watch it on all of our platforms. You can go back and look at it and be encouraged. In fact, I believe there's a lot of people that were here that are going to go back and watch it again.
Praise God.
Because they were so blessed. I know the Holy Spirit was so powerfully on you. You were anointed. You gave words of knowledge to people. I know people's lives were changed. I remember there was a woman there that we met when we went to Scotland. She came with her mother. And when we met her in Scotland, she had told us a testimony. The daughter is who I'm talking about. She was there and she had said, you prayed for me years before she couldn't have children. And then when we met her in Scotland just a few weeks ago, she said that she has five children.
Right.
And so she and her mother from Scotland, they came to the meeting at the Visionary Conference and they were in there. And I remember when she stood up, you had prayed for women to have babies, and she said, like, I don't want any more. I already have five. But it was so wonderful to see the connections that came together, not just our connections with the people that came, because many of them have come before, and we know them. We've gotten to know them well. Some are close. Some are new friends. But they got to make friends with each other.
Right.
And I love seeing those divine connections within the group of people that God has connected us with.
All of them
are truly visionaries. And some of us are at a different stage in our vision, but it's important that when you get together, that you connect with people with like precious faith,
Amen.
Which is where the Word says, which we always like to say, but it'll spark your vision. And I could see that visions were sparked, ignited, and actually on fire.
The thing that I saw that was so exciting was when it came time to receive the offering, how excited the people were to give.
Well, you see it as an opportunity.
God, man, it was just something.
You know, when you learn the Word of God, in fact, when you realize that God really does want His children to prosper, it's His will, He wants to bless His children, then all those religious trappings or old ideas fall away, and you realize this is the method that God has given us to tap into our future. He provides seed to the sower, and when we sow into good ground in obedience to Him, we can expect a harvest that'll help us to fund and propel and prepare to provide for all the things, that the vision that we have in our hearts need to see it fulfilled.
Praise.
Isn't that true?
It's true. And people said, in fact, I had some people say, but Jesse, we couldn't make it. Let me show you how much they wanted to give. We had one particular couple, they said we couldn't make it, but they sent their offering anyway. And I thought, and not only them, a bunch of other people, you know, we had a hurricane that hit South Texas, and a lot of people come from South Texas to our Visionary Conference because, you know, I've preached all over there. And yet they were so courteous and kind. And I don't doubt they needed their offering, you know, because they're out of electricity and who knows, whatever. Yet they were so faithful and kind to send that offering. And because they know we do what we say we do with it, 100%.
Amen. Of
what they give and what you give goes into world evangelism. It's just such a blessing. So some of you, they've been telling me, man, how can we give to you? It's not easy to give to you. Well, if you want to, and you don't have to. But if you want to, if you want to give today and help us reach people, change lives one soul at a time, just go to our website, jdm.org. You can hit the donate button there. And whatever you want to do is fine. Now, let me say this again. You won't hear too many preachers say, if you don't want to, you don't have to. Just keep watching the boardroom chat or all our platforms because it's blessed. But I tell you one thing, the anointing of increase is on me and on Kathy, and it will bless you. So if you do want to, go to jdm.org. You can give that way. You can use PayPal if you want, or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want to. The one you like best, Kathy, is the JDM apps where you can select the giving you want, where and how and all that kind of stuff.
The reason I like it is because you don't have to stop viewing what you're viewing. It's still all, you can still stay on this on the side at the same time.
And then, or you can do like I do, just mail in an old-fashioned donation, like a check. You know, that's what I do. I guess I need to, you know, come up to the technological world and things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm believing for that.
Yeah, you know, God has been so good and gracious. Marvelous time. So I wanted to start off saying thank you for all that supported it and that came, and all those that watched online. It was a blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What I want to talk about today, we've had one of the best weeks here at our ministry because people are being ministered, but we've had one of the worst weeks for our nation. We had an attempted assassination of former President Trump. We and they even saw the shooter on top of the buildings, and nobody seemed to do anything about it. And if they had just done it right away, no one would have died. One man found out that he tried to cover his children and his family and everything.
It's so sad.
And was instantly killed, went right through his head. And President Trump, I mean, just moved 1/4 of an inch and it went through his temple and killed him, but it hit his ear.
It would have.
It would have, yeah. And to make a long story short, I believe God saved his life.
Oh, definitely.
But a man had to lose his life. Now you think, plus other people were hurt too, but I believe they're recovering in the hospitals and things of that nature. Just a sad time. And I want to talk about that. It's called perilous times. Mm-hmm. I want to deal with that. In 2 Timothy, it's in the Bible here. And let me show you, and I'm going to read several scriptures, Kathy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, Paul writing to Timothy, "This know also that in the last days," notice that the last day, "perilous times shall come." Now tell me, what I'm about ready to read is not what's happening today. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." That's all going on today. Truce breakers, false accusers of people lying all the time, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, think about that. If you don't think this is the last day, look at what's happening here. You know, and I thank God that the Lord saved President Trump's life.
Amen.
But tell you what, if people would have did their job, that should not have happened. That man would not have lost his life. The only one that would have lost his life would have been that sniper that was doing that kind of thing. And yet people were screaming and hollering, trying to tell people they saw it and all those kind of stuff. Now, what about the people trying to attack? Well, they couldn't. You can't have guns around. You know, I mean, they got that thing, you know, sanctioned off. But he got in there, and you know, and it was just amazing. That's perilous times, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And former President Trump is the only former president or president in my lifetime. And I can go all the way back to Eisenhower, and I was young. I even can go, I can barely remember Truman, not much because I was really young, but Eisenhower I remember a lot. To make a long story short, he's the only one, former President Trump, to use the name of Jesus in the Oval Office. Now, I'm not endorsing, I'm not telling you to who you vote for and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it to give honor to whom honor's due. And I mean, it took a lot of guts to do that because, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, all other presidents use the word God or providence, and that's good. But he said the name of Jesus. And I believe because one of the reasons why he's living today is because of that. Is he perfect? Well, no. Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But I know one person who is perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, I don't want people to get all disturbed in perilous times because it doesn't make no difference where we are or what we're going through. Psalms 23 says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It didn't say, "Though I stop and build a house and canonize the place."
Right.
You know, he says, just keep walking. And you know what's amazing to me? My Lord, this man had attempted assassination. And what's going on at the time of you hearing this is the Republican convention. And he shows up there at the convention. Now, that's amazing to me. You see what I'm saying? And it just don't make any sense. Some people said, "Do you think it was an inside job?" Well, that I don't know. You know, I don't know any of that. But I do know one thing that shouldn't have happened.
Well, what I was so blessed by and still am in awe of is that at that moment, he wasn't just thinking of himself. He stood up And before being pushed, brought out to a safe spot, he stood up and gave that big fist up, which we did a post on it just in a short time. I think we put that up before the sitting president actually gave a response. So it was powerful. And we saw the flag in the background talking about how we're praying for him and the nation. And at that time, we didn't know all the details that were going on, that one man had actually lost his life such a tragic way.
Instantly killed.
But his first instinct, because he was so strong, was to care for the people who were watching. He stood up and put his, not knowing that maybe there was another gunman, more bullets might be flying, as well as the people that were there on the field and on the stands behind him. They stood up and they put their fist up, yeah. And he said, fight, 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 which was so inspirational, because it just reminded me of how the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith. Yeah. You know, all these things, it's important. We keep moving forward. We don't back up. Many people, when the attacks come, they shrink back and they crawl away. This man didn't do that. Yeah, that's so right. Inspirational. Truly right. A leader, and I stand behind
that's a
him
leader.
100%.
And you know, and let me just say this. I know y'all think, well, y'all saying that because y'all Republican. Look at me. I am not a Republican. Kathy's a Republican. I'm not a Republican. Are you a Democrat? No,
well,
I'm not a Democrat.
For you. I'm
She's praying for
you.
Me. What I am is I'm an independent, because I find, and I'm going to just be honest, I'm a man that would tell you the truth. I will say whatever I want to say. I think Republicans lie a lot, and I think the Democrats lie a lot. You don't hear too many independents lying a lot. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Well, name
I don't
one.
Like the way you generalize and put them all in. There's a lot of great, great, great Republicans.
Well, sure
and
there
I'm sure
are.
There's
I'm not
some...
saying that. No, I'm there's some great Democrats.
What about one of them sitting right here by you?
Yes, that's right. There's some great Democrats. You know, we can agree to disagree on political issues and things of that nature, but we shouldn't be wanting to take guns and kill each other over those things.
I remember when we were Democrat, we were registered Democrat, Ronald Reagan.
If you're from Louisiana, you got to be Democrat at least once in your life.
Years ago, yeah, everybody in Louisiana, if you weren't Democrat, you couldn't vote in any primaries or anything like that. But when Ronald Reagan came on the scene and we all embraced his message, because really we all said, you know, we didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left us because their values changed and shifted. And there's been that same similar shift within the Republican Party, how they are embracing the majority of the platform. I don't know the whole platform, but I know they embrace Christian ethics.
It's just extreme left that has taken over the Democratic Party.
I just think it's the same way. There's a big shift. I was watching some of the programming that was up there, some little clips on YouTube, and last night on my iPad, I watched something, part of the Republican National Convention, and this young woman came up, this young beautiful black woman came up. I didn't know her before this point. Her name was Amber Rose, and she gave a testimony about she says, I no longer believe the lie about Trump. And she said her father had told her good things about him and loved brother, believed in, was supportive of Trump. And she didn't like it. She said, he's a racist. And she says, well, prove it. Well, she didn't. She went researching on her own, did her own research to prove her father wrong. And she realized that her father was right. And then so she became a supporter of Donald Trump, realizing that he was not a racist. He was not a white supremacist, as they all lied and claimed to be. And her testimony was so powerful and so wonderful. She says, I'm a young woman, and I live to help my children. And I want a good America, great America where my children can thrive and be blessed. And so I just thought it was such a blessing. If you haven't seen it, you might want to go look that up.
I'm using this program today not to make you vote for President Trump or vote for President Biden. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about perilous times.
Right.
I want you to see that the end is nearer than we think it is. Now, Kathy, I want you to read.
Well, you know, I'd like.
I wanted to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. You want? You want
I would
not?
Like them to vote for, because I'd like to see a change in our nation.
See, the Republican.
I'm more. I really would. What do you want me to read?
I don't tell nobody who I vote for. Not even Kathy.
I don't mind.
But anyway,
you.
Praise God. I want you to read.
I'm not telling you. Of course, you can do whatever you want.
You interrupted me, Kathy. You interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want you to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, either the Amplified or the Passion.
Well, the Amplified is great. I have it right here.
Would you read it?
Verse 1.
And tell me if this is not the time that we're living in.
You want me to go through the whole 6 through
6? Yeah, read all the way up to verse
6
5.
Is where you went.
I mean, read verse 5 and then stop at verse 5.
Verse
1 through
5?
Yeah, read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Verse 3, they will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it, and their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people turn away from them.
And now, that's not today. I just don't know what is. Now, you know, there's a vast difference in giving God glory and bragging. You know, I give God glory spiritually, physically, and financially. And I've had people say, well, see, he's just bragging. No, I'm giving God glory. But in these situations, what's going on, you know, I don't agree a lot with President Biden says, or the extreme left. I don't hardly agree with anything they say. But let me say this. I don't hardly agree with a lot what the extreme right says. And I'm not trying to get somebody to go down the middle of the road. I'm just saying here that this is a democracy, and democracy swims in muddy waters. It really does, because everybody has opinions, and we have to come together, and we're bound by a vote, you see, and things of that nature. So you see what's happening, and it's just terrible. But the Bible says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Now, and people say, well, Brother Jesse, why doesn't it bother you? I have to quote Psalms 23. It shows you the very first thing that David says, the Lord's my shepherd. Well, the Lord is Jesse, the planet's a shepherd. I shall not want. Don't get it mad at me if I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, because the Lord said, I shall not want. He didn't say I would want. He said, I'll never get to the point I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green grass, in green pastures. Now, notice that. He maketh me. I don't know why anybody would God would have to make somebody lie down in green pastures. Seemed like it'd be pretty nice to just kind of rest. He leadeth me by the still waters. And I like that. See what I'm saying? And so that's me. But I want to get to that one statement. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, if you notice what former President Trump said was, he said, I will not fear.
Fear, yeah.
I will not fear. That man was walking through, at that particular time, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and thank God that God preserved his life. You know, but usually when a life is preserved, someone gives a life, and that man behind him gave his life for his family. Mm-hmm. What an honorable man. And you know, all he wanted to do is go to a political rally. Now, you know, pretty soon they're going to have the Democratic National Convention, and people are going to go, and you have a right to do that. I mean, my Lord, thank God that we have a country that allows freedom of speech, but I believe it's taken too far. When you call somebody a Hitler and you call somebody, and then you see, you begin to turn people that are not strong in mind, and you begin to mess up their minds. And all of a sudden they begin to think, well, we got to stop this because we're going to lose democracy. No, we're not going to lose democracy. You know what I'm saying? In any way, shape, or form. You know, and I mean that sincerely. People say they're going to kill everybody. Well, I just found out, and I was just shocked that MSNBC pulled one of its prime programs because they were concerned about what those two people would do or say.
They were so vicious on their attacks. Yeah. In fact, I would have liked it better if President Biden would have taken ownership to some of the stuff that he had did, because there's clear quotes out there about putting him in the bullseye.
Well, he said he meant it to be focusing on him. Yeah, but you got to understand, someone with a weak mind would think bullseye, they think target. That's just common sense.
But he didn't take ownership of responsibility, and a lot of people have been...
I got to give him credit. He did say that was the wrong term to use. I heard him say that this morning. But that's not the issue. There's some terms that should not be used when you're dealing with killing. You see what I'm trying to say? Those kind of stuff. And I'm not taking up for him. I'm just saying it's true. Because let me tell you, on the Republican side, they all call each other names, you name it. They've all done those
kind
of things.
Well, you know, I think I have to give him the benefit of the doubt, of course, because I don't think he wrote that speech. I think he's just reading a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody in that campaign is writing all this.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Evil stuff and mean things that he says.
Well, you can cause people to get violent and things of that nature. And when you're in positions of authority where people see you a lot, you got to use a little sense.
And if he wasn't as mentally challenged as he is right now, even if he read something that was wrong, he could correct it. But he knows what's going on.
It's just a terrible time to be living in. But you know what? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
I am so thankful that that God protected President Trump right there, and he turned his head for that split second. Everyone is saying that I'm listening to is saying this was divine intervention.
Oh, yes, it was.
And, you know, I'm just inspired by that because all of us can have that same peace at no matter what. Like you were saying, this is perilous times. Yes, but if we serve God and trust him, we can expect the same divine intervention, wisdom.
All day long.
Led by the Holy Spirit, not knowing why we turned on this street instead of that street, not knowing why we decided to go later than earlier. You hear stories like back in when 9/11 hit. I mean, there are landmark times in our lifetime where we can look back and see big things where we said this was like before Christ and after Christ, AD and BC. But so it's like we think about, before 9/11 and after 9/11. Those are like time marks in our lifetime. That and, of course, us, because we lived through Katrina. This was before Katrina.
I lived through the JFK assassination.
Those three things. This is one of those things. Well, I mean, I heard one commentary. I don't know the research, how detailed it is, but he says this. It's been 100 years, he said, and he sounded like I don't remember his name, but he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, that it's been 100 years since there was an attempted assassination during a political campaign speech.
Right.
Some of them have snuck in, but that should have been a secure place when all those people were. That's why that man got the father that got shot,
because
they all expected that to be a secure place, and they failed in that way to do. And there's going to have to be an accounting for that.
But the same thing with JFK. I remember everybody knows where, if you were living like I was living, you know where you were when Walter Cronkite announced that JFK had been shot and assassinated and then died. You know, and things of that nature. But I want to finish reading Psalm 23 before you interrupt me again. And you've cut me off several times on this scripture. And I want to get to this. That's all right.
That's okay.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of, that's verse 4, of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, why? For thou art with me. I really believe that without a shadow of a doubt. If God wouldn't have been at the rally, he would have died. And, you know, it's amazing the technology that you could just see the bullet coming. You know, you could see the vapor thing. I mean, that thing, a high-powered rifle.
Wow.
That's truly amazing to me, and it should not happen. And it shouldn't happen on the Democratic side neither. You see what I'm saying? That just not none of that. We can agree to disagree. But you know what we're allowing? We're allowing a lot of people to get in streets and say things, even though I know we have freedom of speech and endorse violence and criminals don't prosecute them. Well, my God, they'll take over. Just that simple.
There has to be consequences to bad behavior.
That is correct.
And I really hope that this is a wake-up call and a turning point in our nation to return to being civil. And maybe we can discuss the policies rather than tear down people.
Yeah, I'd like to make a challenge to all the media. And to quit calling people names all the time. And that's all the way from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, Fox News, Fox Business, all of them. I mean, we don't need that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's kind of popular. It makes people do that. And at times, I've said it myself. You know, I'm not going to lie. I throw myself in there that I'm going to be more careful with my tongue and things of that nature. Not when it comes to the Word of God.
Right.
No, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to stand up for prosperity till Jesus comes. I go by the way of the grave. You understand? I'm going to stand up for salvation and healing and for the Holy Ghost. I mean, it may make everybody mad. I'm going to stand up for that. But I don't have to call somebody, it's kind of said, what they call those people that do when Pentecostals, they used to have a name for them. Way back when, you know, like they jumped the pews and holy rollers and things of that nature, because they rolled on the floor or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying this. Well, at least they put holy on it. You know, I guess that's pretty good.
Well, they didn't mean it as a compliment.
Did not mean it as a compliment. You can agree to disagree.
Well, you know, it's nothing new under the sun. They did this to Jesus. They call him a wine bibber. They called him a glutton. Am I interrupting you again?
Go ahead.
Well, I thought this was a dialogue.
Okay, it's a dialogue. Go ahead.
Okay.
No,
but they did it to Jesus. It's nothing new under the sun.
Well, see, I got all stirred up.
Well, I just thought I had an opening.
You
there.
Have an
opening. I've often said, if I don't interrupt you, I never get to talk.
Oh, listen to her. Now you see, she's nailing me to the wall right in front of
you. I'm just telling
you. Would y'all extend your hand? Let's pray for Sister Kathy. Jesus, help her, Lord.
Have I made you my enemy because I told you the truth?
No, you haven't made you my. You're not my enemy.
We use scriptural. I know you're not your enemy.
Anyway, but perilous times. But, you know, let me tell you something. The Lord's our shepherd. Jesus is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess that's why we preach so much and go so much. You know, we have a statement here, which I love, reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. And even though this ministry, I don't mean this to sound boastful, it's a very big ministry. It's global, literally all over the world. We treat each person, as like there's only one person in the world, see, because we believe in people. And we want people to get saved, healed, touched, and blessed.
Amen.
And it's just such a blessing, Lord. So I wanted to talk about that today. And let me just say this about the church. There are a lot of people, the church has a form of godliness and denies the power. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can we have such sin in the church? Well, they're denying the power of God. Well, you know, I couldn't help myself. What do you mean you couldn't help yourself? Yes, you could help yourself. You certainly can help yourself. You know how you do that? Why don't you embarrass sin? In other words, you get let me just say this now, it's going to shock you. Let's just say you a man and you see some foxy mama. She got the figure, you like it and all that kind of stuff. And you begin to kind of think too long and look at it too hard. I saw a movie one time that this man walked past this woman. I can't remember, and she was a great actor. And she said, excuse me, leave some clothes on. Because, you know, he was just looking her up and down. Leave some clothes on. You know what you ought to do?
Because she felt like he was undressing her with his eyes. Exactly. That's a phrase
you know what you ought to do to stop that? Say, excuse me, I got some lustful thoughts in my mind about you, and I ask you to forgive me. I repent. You'll embarrass yourself so bad and embarrass sin, you'll stop that mess. See, if you embarrass sin, it won't embarrass you. Now, you start doing something like that, and I promise you, You will calm yourself down real quickly. And I mean that sincerely. I'm telling you that. See, so
I'm not sure if that'll work on everybody.
Well, I tell you one thing.
I can imagine how some people say, oh, and they'd like that idea.
Well, they might like it. See, but they got the same lust problem themselves.
Exactly. So maybe you have to be led by the Spirit
It's wrong. You know, it's just wrong to do that. So I want to make an announcement to everyone watching us today. Don't worry about the perilous times. It's okay to be concerned about them, but don't worry, because faith and worry or faith do not come together. It's like oil and water. It's pollution. So remember this, that Jesus Christ, the Lord, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And he proved it by saving President Trump's life.
Right.
Thank God for that. But I'm not taking why did that other man die? That I can't answer that. I don't know. I don't doubt that was a fine man. I don't know. I know Satan he comes to steal and to kill. So who killed that man? That was the devil that did that, see? So I don't know. I can't answer that. But I pray for his family.
Yes.
And I pray for the people that were wounded also. And I thank God that doctor that was right there just jumped down there and been tried to help that man. You know, even though he knew, being a doctor, that he was instantly killed. But, I mean, think about that. He put himself in harm's way. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of great people, ladies and gentlemen. You know, sometimes we need to start looking for the good in people instead of always looking for the bad. So I want to, right now, we're going to close here in a minute, but I want to pray for this nation. And I want to pray for the Democrats. And I want to pray for the Republicans and the independents and the libertines or whatever. I want to just pray for our nation, so we can live a peaceful, gentle, quiet life. Would you mind if I do that?
Thank you, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace with this petition and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray for the United States of America. I know we have really diverse opinions about a lot of different things, but God, and some people don't believe this, but this nation was created on Judeo-Christian ethic. All our president dealt with providence. And Father, I thank you. None of them were perfect. That's not the issue. But God, you made this nation come into existence. I pray, Lord, that we become civil-minded. Mm-hmm. That, and Lord, I pray for the church to stand up and live what they say the Bible says, and just saying one thing in a pulpit and go do something totally wrong. Father, I decree and declare the word of the living God. Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get under the feet of this nation. Lord, that during these election times, that we don't have to be terribly mean to each other. Yes, we can totally disagree on policy and all those kind of things. That's fine. That's what democracy is all about. But we shouldn't be thinking about killing somebody or hurting somebody in any way, shape, or form, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or independent, or liberty, whatever. Father, I decree and declare it today in the mighty name of Jesus that you wanted us to do this program. But Lord, I'll say it again. When you said, when you see these times, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. So Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, and settle this situation and get this thing taken care of. Father, we thank you for it. We believe you for it. We call it done in Jesus' name. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing us to speak. Kathy, thank you for expressing your opinion. And like I say, you know, you can do it anytime you want in this program.
That's right.
And I mean, I couldn't stop you if I tried. Praise God. And that's okay.
But you know, Jesse, this is not just a problem for America. This is kind of disrupting what's going on all over the world.
Yeah.
So I believe even if you're watching from another part of the world,
right,
I know you're praying for our nation. We're also praying for you and your nation.
Well, there's a scripture that says, pray for your leaders that you may live a peaceful, gentle, quiet life.
Right.
See, and we should
so
do those
we
things.
We are doing that.
And sometimes it's hard to pray for somebody you don't like. But you know, Jesus died for people he didn't like. He didn't like the Pharisee or the Sadducee. He called them a snake, a hypocrite, and a viper. But, and he wasn't calling them names. He was speaking truth. That's a whole different thing when you speak truth. But you know what? He went to the cross and died for them.
Right.
See? So you got to understand that. I believe that Christians should turn the other cheek, but not through silliness and stupidity. By no means, you know.
Amen.
And God is so good and gracious. Thank you for letting us come into your home or wherever you view this, and all over those wonderful people all over the world that sent in wonderful comments and compliments. We thank you.
Yes.
And I mean that sincerely. And partners, thank you for helping us reach people, change lives, one soul at a time with your faithful financial support. You know, I wish it was free. I really do. But it's not. And that's okay. Because people got to make a living. And I understand that. But thank you. Nothing too small, nothing too big if you decide to give and be a partner of this ministry. Let me say it again, 100% of it goes into world evangelism. If you'd like to do that, go to jdm.org. You can donate that way, or PayPal if you want to use that, or text to give a one-time donation. Or you might want to do a recurring one. Or the JDM apps, like Kathy was saying, where you don't have to lose nothing. You can just give that way. Select the giving you want, if you want to, or mail in a check. The old-fashioned way through the post office, whatever you think, and you'll be blessed. Thank you for listening to us. And remember this. Let me tell you something. No matter how bad it gets, the Lord said he will never leave us or forsake us, for thou art with me.
Amen.
Always remember that. We'll see you next time right here on our Boardroom Chat. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.